Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Before we come to the preaching of God's precious word, let's take a few moments to still ourselves before the presence of a holy God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do come before Thee, and we confess, Lord, we are sinners much in need of grace. Lord, we are wretches before Thy throne, and yet we thank Thee that we come to a God who is infinitely holy, infinitely pure, an impeccable, sinless, and perfect Savior. Father, we pray that as we come to the scripture reading, as we come to sing forth Thy grace, and as we come to preach Thy word, that, Lord, Your Spirit would rest mightily upon us. Open hearts, Lord, let there be a word in season for some saint or sinner gathered out in this place. We do pray for our brother, Reverend Crane, Lord, that You'd take him up and that You'd bless him, and that he would be the very instrument for the hour. O Heavenly Father, shut us in with Thyself. Bless thy word, and let signs follow the preaching of the word of God, we pray. For we ask this in our glorious, sinless Savior's name. Amen. Amen. Our scripture reading this evening is taken from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 10, and we're going to commence reading at verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came, looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was the neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Amen. Ending our reading at verse 37. And we trust that the Lord will bless the public reading of his own inspired word. We're going to further seek to worship the Lord by turning to the hymn, I was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more.
Thank you. We want to thank the Reverend Moffat for leading the meeting. And folks, let's turn in the scriptures to that passage that the Reverend Moffat read for us in Luke chapter 10. And with God's word open before us, let's pause for a short moment of prayer. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank thee for Christ the Redeemer, who came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. And we bless thee that the way of the cross leads home. We pray that thou wilt speak to every individual that listens to the Lord to this message. We pray, O God, that help will be given by the Spirit of God to understand, and that glory will be brought to the man of Calvary. Give us help as we listen. We pray that the Spirit will be our prompter, showing the things of Christ to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When the Lord Jesus came to this earth, he came as a teacher, but primarily he came as Savior. And as a teacher, there is no doubt that he was the greatest teacher ever to set foot on the face of the earth. The Bible tells us that the common people heard him gladly, and that's because the Lord was easy to listen to. He spoke the language of the people, and he was right down at their level. Very often, to get the message across, the Lord Jesus would have used illustrations because that's what people could understand. Very often, when people hear an illustration, it portrays gospel truth, and there's an image that is stamped upon their mind, and it sticks, and it stays. One of the methods that the Lord used by way of illustration was to tell a parable. We read in Mark chapter 4, verse 2, that he taught them many things by parables. And there are many parables, I'm sure, that come to our mind. We can think of the sower who sowed seed on the four types of ground. There's the parable of the two builders, one who built upon the rock and the other who built upon the sand. Parable of the 10 virgins, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. We think of the prodigal son. We can also think of the lost sheep. And perhaps few parables are as well known to you and I as that of the Good Samaritan. In one of his inaugural addresses, when he became President of the United States of America, President Franklin D. Roosevelt said, "I would dedicate to the nation the policies of the Good Samaritan." And friends, the fame of this parable is also seen in that many organizations in society, and also hospitals and rescue missions, will employ the name of Samaritans to show their charitable character and purpose. And how instructive it is for you and I that a name so despised in Bible times, in the days of Jesus Christ, should become so respected in this day which you and I live in. And though it's a parable that is well known, sadly, many, many people stumble over this parable. And they have the impression in their mind that they need to try and act like the Good Samaritan in order to please God and to merit heaven. Many people feel that they need to be like the Good Samaritan and be a good neighbor and do their acts of charity and give to this cause and to that cause. But friend, that is not the teaching of Jesus Christ in this parable in Luke chapter 10. It is the Good Samaritan who pictures the Savior. You and I are pictured in the fallen man who was beaten up on the road. The Lord Jesus is the sympathetic one. The Good Samaritan in this parable was the sympathetic one. Samaritan who was despised and scorned, but who sacrificially gave of himself that he might rescue and save a poor, helpless man. I'd like us to consider for a few moments today the parable of the Good Samaritan as it is recorded for us in Luke chapter 10. Notice with us, first of all, the calamity of the inflicted one. Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead." Bible commentators tell us that the road from Jerusalem to Jericho was an extremely dangerous road. It was roughly 20 miles in length, passing through very rough terrain, which is full of crags and caves, a place that was notorious for robberies and for murders. Thieves along that route had plenty of cover in the twisted roads, and that road was well known in Bible times for many's a dark deed that was carried out. And people travelled along that road putting their lives in their own hands. The parable tells us that this traveller went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He went down geographically. Jerusalem is roughly 3,000 feet above sea level, whereas Jericho is 600 feet below sea level. Not only did he go down geographically, this man went down spiritually as well, because Jerusalem was the holy city, whereas Jericho was the city of the curse. And we read back in the book of Joshua, chapter 6, verse 26, that after the Canaanite conquest, when Joshua and the children of Israel conquered the city of Jericho, after its walls had fallen down flat, curse was placed upon the city and the individual who would rebuild it. This man went also down experientially. For we read that he fell among thieves. A person who was stripped of his clothing and wounded, and he was left half dead, and left in such a bad state that this man was unable to do anything for himself. He was disabled. And what happened to this inflicted individual was a tremendous calamity from which he could not recover. And friend, Jesus told the story of this inflicted one to give a spiritual picture of what you and I are like in the sight of God. Sin will take us downward. And unless sin is repented of and forgiven by the Lord Jesus, it will ultimately take us down to a lost eternity in hell itself. Sin, of course, took our first parents, Adam and Eve, from holy ground onto the ground of the curse. And it is true that sin will never improve an individual. It will never improve a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl. It will never improve society, because sin defiles and sin brings tears. And when our first parents sinned in the Garden of Eden against God, didn't the devil promise the rise of man? When in turn it brought about the fall of man. And as this traveller was wounded, it pictures what sin has done to you and I. It has defiled us. Sin causes pain. Sin causes anguish and heartache and groaning. And sin would say that Jerusalem is a boring place to be in. Jericho, with all of its pleasures, that's where you need to be. This traveller was left dying. We read here that he was left for half dead. And doesn't the scriptures remind us in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, that the wages of sin is death? And being left in such bad shape, this man was left totally helpless. He was dependent upon outside help to lift him up. And God's word reminds us, folks, that as sinners, we are without strength, and that we are dead in trespasses and in sins. And the calamity of this inflicted one is a picture of mankind in this world today. We too are in a great calamity of perishing, and we cannot save ourselves. We can do nothing to lift ourselves up before God. Sin has left you and I disabled and wounded. And of course, sin is deadly. And sin is also deceitful. And it will take a person down. And it will take them down and down into a lost eternity. Secondly, let's consider the carelessness of the indifferent ones. We read in verse 31 and 32, "And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side." Both of these men were from the tribe of Levi, the religious tribe. The priests, the Levites, were those who officiated in the temple and offered the sacrifices. Two men that represented religion. And religion failed this man. They adhered to the Old Testament laws of Moses. And friends, the truth of God's word is that God's law cannot save an individual. It shows us our flaws. It shows us where we've gone wrong and our disobedience and our sin. And the law also condemns. Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ." Not one of us could keep God's law, friend. We've all broken it. And here were two men, a priest and a Levite, who were schooled in theology and in the Old Testament scriptures, and both of them were of absolutely no value to this poor dying man. And what they represented as far as religion was concerned, at the end of it, that proved fruitless and could do nothing for him. Religion, friend, will take a person downward to a lost eternity. Religion cannot give any individual a home in heaven. It cannot give us any merit before God whatsoever. It is possible for you to do religious deeds and to jump through every religious hoop that religion would have you to jump through. But it will never save your soul. Religion will never elevate any individual to heaven. And it does not give us any merit before God. We are told in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast." Friend, religion might make you respectable. It might make you a very good neighbor, but it will not make you a citizen of heaven. Religion cannot remove our condemnation, and that's why Jesus Christ came into this world. He who was spotless and sinless stood condemned in the sinner's place at Calvary's cross. And there he took our place and shed his atoning blood as the sinner's substitute. And friend, it's not religion that you need, it's the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Religion failed this man, and religion will fail you as well. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And it is through Christ and his blood at the cross that you and I are pardoned and saved and forgiven. Lastly, let's consider the compassion of the interceding one. In verses 33 to 35, we read of the compassion of the interceding one, who is the Good Samaritan. The Samaritans in Bible times were a scorned race of people, scorned by a full-blooded Jew. It was a name of derision placed upon a mixed race of people who colonized Samaria after their repatriation there, after hundreds of years in exile in Assyria. And because those Jews carried away to Assyria did not keep their genealogy and could not prove it when they came back to their own land, full-blooded Jews then looked upon them with suspicion. And here we read of a Samaritan coming by this wounded man. He didn't avoid him like the two religious men did. He came to where the fallen man was and had compassion on him. And friend, that's what Jesus Christ has done for you and I. The religious leaders of the Saviour's day, they despised him. Isaiah in chapter 53, verse 3 tells us he was despised and rejected of men. And regarding coming to his own people, he came unto his own and his own received him not. And here the good Samaritan paid for this man's restoration. And he did all that he could. He did the complete job. And so did Jesus Christ upon the cross. He did the complete job, friend, for you and I, not leaving anything for you and I to do, but to simply trust in him. How can you be saved today? Maybe you're wondering, what must I do to be saved? You remember three words beginning with the letter R. First of all, recognize that you're a sinner. And you're fallen. Secondly, repent of your sin. That means turn away from it. Be sorry for your sin. And thirdly, receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And friend, if you do that, the Lord Jesus will accept you. And he'll save your precious soul. And he's calling you through this message. And I trust that you will heed his voice. And that you will hear the voice of the heavenly shepherd. And through this message, he's inviting you to come and be saved by his grace. May you do so. Look to Jesus by faith. Don't try to copy the Good Samaritan. You can't. It is Christ who is the Good Samaritan, friend, who's in the lifting up business. Let's close our meeting in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for the gospel. Help us to understand it. And any who need Christ today, may they recognize their need and call upon thee for full salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.